Devin, I want to have you come up. This isn't the last time you're going to see Devin today. He's all over the place. And he's going to be reading for us the scripture today, which comes from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, looking a little bit at the Christmas story.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Awesome. Earth peace to those whom on whom his favor rests. You know, peace is elusive. It is part of the Christmas story because it is promised in the Christmas story. It is part of our experience as humans because it is promised to us by the God who created us. But it's elusive. Even in the midst of the Christmas story, we see that it's filled with strife, it's filled with stress, it's filled with all kinds of challenges. And as we look at our own lives, we talk about peace, and we yearn for peace, and we live in a world where there are wars. We live in a world where conflict abounds. We live in a world where we struggle just because of who we are, with inner turmoil. Anyone say amen? There are just things that happen for us always, and we hear this promise that the heavenly host and the angel, as they are appearing to the shepherds, they come out with this grand proclamation, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace upon those whom his favor rests. And it becomes challenging for us because we experience life that is not peace. We experience life that is more stress. We experience life that is more worry. We experience life that is more unmet expectations rather than a life that is filled with the expectation of peace. And because of that, we struggle even with this piece of it. We talk about the candle of peace. We talk about this promise of peace. And we wonder, how is that all going to play out? Again, if you can go to this that key verse for us today. You know, the great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Buddhism says that peace comes from within. There's a little bit of truth in that. That if we're not at peace with ourselves, we're not going to experience peace around us. Part of their secret to that, of course, is managing expectations. There's a trick to expectations. Have you noticed this? If you have high expectations, you're most likely going to be disappointed. If you have low expectations, hey, chances are you'd be surprised. Things turned out okay. You go to a movie. You expect great things. You've seen this guy before. You know, you've seen the story before. You've seen this director before. And you're excited about it. And then it kind of, But the person who goes with you, because they've never heard of this guy before, say, hey, that was pretty darn good. It's just all about how it is that we see the world, the kind of expectation we have as we come into the world. isn't it? And there's something that is really kind of key for us. There is some truth to that, because actually, when we think about it, a lot of the strife in our life comes from our expectations. Maybe expectations of ourselves. I don't live up to what I expect I should be able to do, and so I beat myself up. Or expectations of others. They didn't do something like I think they should, or they didn't do something in a way that would make me happy. They didn't say something that I'd hoped that they would. They didn't do something. And whatever it is, we're putting our happiness, right, at the whim of someone we have no control over. And we wonder why we constantly are disappointed and constantly in this turmoil, right? Am I the only one who knows about this stuff? Because we have these expectations that we unfairly, quite honestly, place on other people around us and wait for them to make us happy. And we believe the lie that if they do, if they behave properly, then I will experience peace. That's a lie, okay? One, that's a lie. Two, but it's an unfair trap that we play on ourselves, and we get ourselves hooked up in this lack of peace. You know, some in the world say this, that peace is the absence of conflict. Again, another lie. That somehow if we could do away with war, there would be peace. If we could do away with strife, there would be peace. That's not really all that there is to it. Peace isn't just when there is no strife about. There is something else that's at play here. Think about the Christmas story that Devin read for us today. How peaceful of a story is that? We see Joseph and Mary, we have this beautiful picture in our mind, don't we? It's peaceful. They're on their way on this lovely journey down to Bethlehem. Right? That's a 100-mile walk. She is great with child. She's probably saying, "You got to go where, Joseph? No, you're not leaving me here with these folks. No, I'm going with you." And why are we going? Oh, the government mandate. Oh, yes. We all like the government mandate, don't we? We like being forced to do things that we don't want to do. That's what's going on. That's the context of this story. They're on their way. It's a long way. Okay, I've never been pregnant. I've never given birth. I know. I'm not worthy. I cannot imagine at 8.5 months pregnant saying, "We're going to go on a walk for 100 miles. It's going to take us a week. We'll be sleeping out under the stars, out exposed to all kinds of whatever is out there. But we're going to go to a town that I'd never been to. I go to a town that I really never wanted to go to. But we're going to go to this place because you're of some ancestry, Joseph. So we're going to go there." This is a stressful time here. Week-long journey, alone, separated from family and friends while the baby is about to come. This mandate that is hanging over their heads so that, oh, this is fun. They get to suffer this mandate and go on this journey. Why? So they can be taxed. Oh, okay, that makes it all better. Yeah. Taxed, not just by their government to pay for roads and schools, but by an oppressive overlord government. The Romans came. This wasn't just to make their life better. It was to keep the Romans fat and happy. And then they get there and there's no place to stay. You know, there probably were places they could have had gone and found a place if they had enough money to do it. They probably didn't. So they're dealing with this financial crisis, the inability to even put a roof over their head. I'm telling you, this is not a peaceful story. And I forgot the most important part. Mary feels like she's an outcast. She's socially not acceptable. She is 9 months pregnant, and she does not have a husband. And that's not really acceptable today, but it was certainly far less acceptable then. Whenever we feel vulnerable, we feel that peace is elusive. And all of those items I just mentioned for you are reasons that Mary, as well as Joseph, should have felt very vulnerable in the world they were living. Homeless, outcast, alone, isolated. mandated by some higher authority to do what they do not want to do and having to deal with the stress of this journey. And yet into this stressful time comes this announcement of peace on earth. I want to offer to you something I think that the Christmas story begins to tell us, and that is, Christmas says, not that peace is the absence of conflict, but Christmas says that peace has come, that Jesus brought it when he came to town, and that we're invited to lean into that. Not to avoid the conflict, not to somehow deal with those around us, but to lean into the reality that Christ has now come. This begins to be our peace, not despite the conflict, but in the face of the conflict. Here, in the midst of this story that we see, that sounds a lot like some of our story, we see that Jesus comes and peace is proclaimed. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden." Was it with unmet expectations? Is it with disappointments? Is it with burdens that are just too heavy for us, or fears or worries, or whatever it might be? Jesus says, "Come to me." That becomes, again, the answer here. It's not that we need to create a peaceful environment so that we can usher Jesus in. Jesus has come. We need to stay there so that we can experience this peace, which, like light eradicates darkness, this peace begins to come and shape and change even the stresses of the life we live in. The presence of Christ in our midst doesn't keep us from walking through dark times of grief, but it gives us the strength to do it. Presence of Christ doesn't eradicate from us conflict with others in our neighborhood or in our workplace, but it gives us the strength somehow to do it. Peace that Christ brings does not eradicate injustice from the world around me, but it gives me something to begin to bring into that injustice, to begin to deal with it. No, there is a peace which is promised, which is in Christ alone, which is offered to us. And that's why I think when it comes to Christmas, sometimes we get it mixed up. We say, "Oh, I'm so busy, I didn't feel any peace of Christmas." No, it's not your busyness. It's where is this Jesus in the midst of your busyness? Do we take time to lean into this Jesus that has been given to us, who invites us to himself, to be that peace for us, even when things don't go the way we expect or want, even when things get a little too crazy and a little too harried, even when things hurt, even when things are lost? As we lean into Jesus, we find that he is what he promised to be, our peace. There's a bumper sticker, I know you've probably seen it. It says something like this: "No Jesus, no peace." No Jesus, no peace. For those who are listening to this online, you have to understand there's a no with an N, there's a no with a K, and it makes all the difference in the world. This is what we're invited to. It's the knowing Jesus, and through him that we would know his peace. He was promised to come. He was promised to come to us. One of the names that he would have been told, would have been foretold of him, it was Prince of Peace. I love that. Because he is the source of that peace that we yearn for. It is a yearning that we will never find, folks, in the world around us, from the beginning of time until its end, here on this planet, in this broken world. We will not know peace in the world, but we can know peace in Christ and bring that peace to bear. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to look to you to be our peace. And in these moments before we conclude, to come before you and accept that gift once again of your peace to us. Father, I thank you that on the night in which Christ was betrayed, he offered himself not only to be represented in the bread, which represents his body, but also to be his peace that we are invited to take in. Also, he took the cup and offered it not just to represent his blood being poured out for us, but for that forgiveness which leads us to peace with you. Father, we thank you for that door which you have opened. And as we come to receive these reminders today, help us to lean into you despite the chaos that surrounds us, that we would know that peace today, which you've come to bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.